Hello. We gather to worship, our hearts alive with hope that here we will be truly seen, that species around us will be acknowledged, that here we will be welcomed into the garden of the world, where the simple and the elegant, the fluted and the frilled, the shy and the dramatic, complement one another and are treasured. May we know that here, each species contributes in their own way to the beauty of the whole. Come, let us worship together, all genders, sexualities, politics, progressive or conservative. May we root ourselves in the values of the enlightened liberal tradition. May it be so. Emily, would you be able to come forward to light the chalice? May the flame we now rekindle call us back to our world and remind us that we share this green globe with a multitude of species. May our chalice remind us that we are held and welcomed as we are, as we attempt to hold and welcome all life in this sanctuary of acceptance. May we remember that there is a place for our whole selves and our whole planet, a place where no piece of us has to hide. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 203, All Creatures of the Earth and Sky. There is a grandeur in this view of life, with its several powers having been originally breathed into a few forms or into one, and that whilst this planet has gone cycling on according to the fixed laws of gravity, from so simple a beginning, endless forms most beautiful and most wonderful have been and are being evolved.
Blessing. A lot of people would define blessing as asking God to make something good. Probably the place everyone's most familiar with blessings is saying, bless you, when someone sneezes. And I think that means, I don't want you to be sick. I hope you are okay. Another place we hear about blessings is with food, where people, when they're about to eat, say grace or a blessing. Blessing does not have to include God, though I think it does have to include gratitude or thankfulness, protection, sanctuary, if you will, and goodness. Blessing says, I want you to do well. The Reverend Laura Kim Joyner, who's also a veterinarian and promotes animal blessings among UUs, says, a blessing reminds us that the beings and objects of the world are not ours to take, but ours only to receive. We become thoughtful of our limits and our necessary interdependence on all life, and we seek to balance our consumption in all areas of our life. In other words, blessing reminds us of the seventh principle. What's the seventh principle? Respect for the interdependent web of all existence. Respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. So, this reminds us how we're connected in an interdependent web, how we all breathe the same air, drink the same water, rely on the same food sources, and that goes for animals as well as ourselves. So, oops. There. We are going to do a blessing. We're going to do an animal blessing. And I'm actually, what I want to do is to use an adaptation of a Buddhist metta. Who knows about Buddhist metta? Don't know about Buddha? Okay, metta it's a form of meditation. And it's where you wish people well, you wish things well, you wish yourself well, you wish others well. And one form that I've learned is, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace. So, I want you to help me with this. May you be happy.
May you be happy.
May you be well.
May you be well.
May you be at peace. Okay, and I think we have some animals here to bless, and if we can have the mic come up here so that people can bring up their animal and they can tell us who the animal is. So we have the name. So. Okay. So, he has the hand. Yeah. Yeah. So, who is this?
This is Rocky.
Okay. So now you all are going to help me. Rocky, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be at peace. Okay. Who else do we have to be blessed?
This is Braxton.
Braxton?
Joan's new best friend.
Okay. Braxton, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be at peace. Who else do we have?
This is Raphael.
Raphael. Raphael, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace. Who else do we have? Who's this?
This is Bob the Chicken.
This is Bob the Chicken. Bob the Chicken.
May you be happy. May you be well. May you be at peace.
Ready, Mommy?
And who is this?
Can you say your chicken's name? Bok Bok.
Bok Bok.
Okay. Bok Bok. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be at peace. And if we have stuffed animals or pictures of animals, we can bring those too.
These are representations of Fisher and the Red Collar and Artemis, also known as Artie or Party Cat, in the Blue Collar.
So, Fisher, may you be happy, may you be well, and may you be at peace. And I assume the real Fisher is like out there somewhere we're just sending energy to,
yes.
Right? Okay, and this is?
Artie.
Artie. Artie, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace.
This is Oreo.
Oreo. Okay. Oreo, may you be happy, may you be well, and may you be at peace. Do we have anyone else here? Stuffed animals, welcome. Pictures, welcome. Do we have any animals we want to bless at a distance and just imagine them? Ah, we do. We have more pictures.
This is Nala.
Nalf?
Nala.
Nala. Okay. Nala. Nala, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be at peace.
We are adopting Leia next Saturday.
They're adopting Leia next Saturday. So, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace.
I'm sure Chris Bailey, who cannot be here today, would like us to bless Gigi, his dog.
Gigi. Gigi, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace. I see somebody maybe coming up. Maybe.
Okay. Well, they want our dog Aoife to be blessed too, but I have no picture. They won't come up.
Okay. We'll just imagine Aoife.
Imagine her out there.
Okay. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be at peace. Okay. Any other animals for blessing? Yes, okay. You have the courage.
My cat's name is Tom Finnegan. You're out your Innegan. So we just call him Tom.
Tom, okay. Tom, may you be well. May you be happy. May you be at peace. Oh, I said it in the wrong order, didn't I? Okay. Well,
Tabby, she doesn't like car rides, so she couldn't come. But she has hyperthyroidism, and she's being medicated for that.
So Tabby, may you be happy, may you be well, may you be at peace. And so may all of the animals, named and unnamed, be happy. May they all be well. May they all be at peace.
We know that our financial and other contributions to this congregation come from sacrifice and hard work. We are so grateful for this. May we sustain and grow the life of the sanctuary and this fellowship in love and hope. I invite Emily to pass the baskets, and John Alou will be walking through the aisles to collect your joys and concerns.
About how we're part of the interdependent web, then we know that what happens to one of us, what happens to one of us affects us all. And in that spirit, we share joys and concerns. Jane Pelletier is pleased to be having a visit from her sisters, Jean from Kingston, Massachusetts. Joan from Kingston, Massachusetts, and Janet from Las Lunas, New Mexico. So, Jane, Joan, and Janet. Larry Weaver says that serving at Happy Kitchen is a joy, and the fact that no meal is served on the Fridays that we are not there is a concern. I might just add to that that the meals that are being served around town have been increasing in the numbers of people being served, radically increasing. So that's a concern that we all can hold in our hearts. Kathy Hedges says that her son Joey and his wife Sam, okay, are on their honeymoon, and yesterday they ate croissants while staring at the Eiffel Tower. And she is fluent in French, so all is good. And once more, may all of us be happy. May all of us be well. May all of us be at peace.
This morning, the beautiful white heron was floating along above the water, and then into the sky of this, the one world we all belong to, where everything sooner or later is a part of everything else, which thought made me feel, for a little while, quite beautiful myself. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 1, May Nothing Evil Cross This Door. I was born in a fine old edition of Schiller.
While I started life in a private eye thriller.
We're book lice who dwell in these dusty bookshelves. Later, I lodged in Scott's Works, Volume 50.
While I passed my youth in an Agatha Christie,
we're book lice attached despite contrasting pasts. One day, while in search of a new place to eat,
he fell down 7 shelves where we happened to meet.
We're book lice who chew on the bookbinding glue. We honeymooned in an old guidebook on Greece.
I missed Conan Doyle. He pined for his Keats.
We're book lice, fine mates despite different tastes. So we set up our home inside Roget's thesaurus.
Not far from my mystery is close to his Horace.
We're book lice, adoring despite her loud
snoring.
And there we've resided, and there we'll remain.
He nearby his Shakespeare, I near my Spillane.
We're book-loving book-lice.
Plain proof of the fact,
which I'm certain I read in a book some months back,
that opposites are often known to attract.
All right. I invite everyone who's young or young at heart to come up. For Emily, who will be reading When a Pet Dies by Fred Rogers.
Well, hello, friends. Hi, everyone. So how many of you here today brought a pet with you in real life or in spirit? That you have one at home or that you have one with you here today? Very good. How many of you have had a pet before that's no longer with you? Yeah. So, and also, yet another question. How many of you are familiar with one Mr. Fred Rogers? Okay, so I'm not going to necessarily read this word for word, but this is an excellent little story that kind of walks you through a little bit of that really sad thing that happens when we lose a pet. So, how many of you spend a lot of time with your pets? How many of you like to play with your pets? How many of you like to talk about your pets? How many of you like to take pictures with your pets? How many of you feel like your pets are part of your family? And how many of you feel like your pets are in some ways some of your best friends? So pets are a very important part of our lives, right? They're not just little fuzzy things that we just toss to the side. They're very important to us. And here are some pictures of other people playing with their pets. We've got some friends who've got cats, dogs, what other kinds of pets? I saw some chickens here today. There's all sorts of different animals that we can kind of have as part of our lives. And we have to put a lot of effort into how we take care of those pets. It's not the same as the stuffed animals that I brought in today, right? The stuffed animals, I could just toss them in the back of the car. But my cats, wow, that would have been a hot mess if we tried to toss them in the back of our car today because they do not travel well. So what are some of the things that you do to help take care of your pets? Anybody? What do you do? Feed them. And do they eat the same foods that you do? Or different foods? Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. What about you? What do you do to help your pets? You play with them. That's a very important thing for all living things to get to play, right? Yeah, what else? Water. Food, water, play. What else do we do? Has anyone ever had to take their pet to the vet? To the animal doctor? We've got some people in the audience that have. Audience, whatever. Got some folks over here. Oh, got lots of hands going up. I've had to do that. So there's a lot of things that we do to take care of our animal friends. And so we're very invested in their lives and in their well-being, right? Because we're doing a lot to try and make sure that they're happy, healthy friends. And sometimes when they get sick, because, you know, anything that's alive can get sick, right? And when they get sick, what's great is that we have animal doctors. We have people that know how to take care of the health of things that are alive, that are animals and not just humans. But sometimes they can do a lot, and sometimes they can't actually make the pet better. Sometimes they have to work with the family to talk about what they can and can't do for that pet, right? Has anyone ever had to deal with that before? I've had to deal with that. It's kind of a difficult thing because you want your pet to be happy and healthy, and sometimes the only thing that's left is for it to be at peace. And trying to make peace with that ourselves can be very difficult. So when that happens, it's normal to feel very sad. You might go through a period of time where you're feeling sad. Let's see. But does it last forever? Are you just sad for the rest of your life without any other feelings ever again? It can feel like that for a minute, but it's not the only feeling you're going to have for the rest of your life. And it's okay to miss your pet, and it might make you feel lonely. And you might even cry. And you might even feel angry. Anybody get angry sometimes when they miss someone? Yeah. And that's all okay. And it's not always easy to talk about those feelings. But it's important to find people that you love and trust so that you can talk about those feelings. Does anybody have people? Who are some of the people in your life that you feel like you can talk to about those kinds of feelings? Does anybody have anybody they can think of? What do you got? Anybody? Parents?
Wife?
Parents, guardians? Children, friends. There's lots of different people that we might have in our lives that we feel comfortable talking to about those kinds of feelings. And you might have a lot of questions about it too. It might not just be feelings, it might be, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. You might have questions about what is dying. And what do we know about dying? And we know that it's different than going asleep. Because when you go to sleep, you wake back up. But when you die, you don't wake back up. Right? And that's something that adults and kids, everybody, kind of wonders about. And it's okay to talk about those things and to ask those questions. And sometimes you'll go through times when you're thinking about the ways that you wish you could have helped stop your pet from dying. And maybe you'll think about whether there was something you could have done, or you might think that there was something you could have done that you didn't do and you wish you did, because maybe, just maybe. But it's also very possible that there was nothing you could have done. And it's something, and you might wish that you could make them come alive again, but that's not something we really know how to do. That's not something that can happen. But what can we do? One of the ways that we honor our pets after they pass is sometimes we'll do a funeral for them. Here's a picture of a family that's getting ready to bury their pet in a special place in their yard. And they're going to lay some flowers on it, talk about some of the memories and the fond memories and things that they have about their pet. You've got your hand up. What's up? You bought your guinea pig? You buried it? Yeah, where did you bury it? In a special place? By the garden. That sounds like a very special place to bury your guinea pig. Did you put anything where you buried it to help you remember that it's there? You put a brick on it, yeah. That's a great way to remember and honor your pet. That was a really important part of your life. Yeah. And then sometimes it's helpful just to be together with other people and either just feel bad together or feel better together or remember the happy times together. Right? So these are some of the ways that we can process that. And then sometimes, though, people they want to be alone for a little bit, and that's also okay. See how this person's kind of wanting to spend some time away from the group? That's also okay. But eventually, no matter how angry or sad you feel when your pet dies, you'll start to have other feelings again. You'll be able to play with new friends or different friends or just human people. And you can start to look back on the memories and have the happy feelings and not just the sad feelings of loss, but the happy feelings for what you had. You can look back and smile at the pictures and the memories. And you might even feel eventually that you would like a new pet. Not necessarily to take the place of the old pet, but because you like animals and you're ready to have another one in your life. And you can talk about those feelings when you're ready with the people that are in your life and with your family. And I will read this one directly. It says, "Happy times and sad times are a part of everyone's life. And when a pet dies, we can grow to know that the love we shared is still alive in us and always will be." The end. All right, so we're going to let you guys go, and I believe that John is going to do the next.
Yeah. So you can just go back to your seats now. So Emily just told us about pets dying, and that when they die, we miss them very much. Earlier in the service, we gave blessings to the animals who live with us now. And some of us might want to remember pets that we don't have anymore, who aren't with us anymore. And so I'm going to invite you, if you want to come up and remember an animal, to come up and, tell us who that was and light a candle to represent them. And to just, and we might just all say, "We remember you." So I'll show you how we're going to do that, because I used to have, many years ago, a dog named Kate. And so, Paint, we remember you.
So I'll light one candle for multiple. Tasha, my childhood dog, and Samira and Oscar, two of my cats.
And my cat Goldie, bleh, and my goldfish Goldie.
My guinea pig Norman.
I had some fish, bubbles, and pickles.
We remember you.
I had three, a clown loach who leapt out of the aquarium, a favorite white cat who adored me, and a half black lab named Blackie who could smile.
Our first family dog, Tiger, and Norbert the hamster, and the hermit crab. What was its name?
I don't know.
Herman.
When I was a wee little girl, we had an old tomcat that would let me put my doll clothes on it. And I loved to dress that up, and I would put it in my little baby buggy. And one time I had it all, and a girlfriend was visiting me, and we had it all dressed up and in the baby buggy. Mom said, well, we're going to run over to Whatcher, which was a little town 4 miles away, and get some groceries. You want to go along? And so we did. And I forgot about the tomcat, and we got there. I thought, oh, my gosh. And Mom had told me, never leave a ribbon around its neck. Tomcats will crawl under things and get hung up and hang themselves, you know, if they've got something around their neck. But we got back, and I rushed to the baby buggy, and the tomcat was still laying there peacefully sleeping. So love that old cat.
Michael Oldfather, we had a dog, and the males in the household called him Elmer. The females in the household called him Whiskers. He was really an Elmer. Elmer had an interesting habit. He loved to rest underneath a car. And my dad, when he got in the car, he would rev it up a little bit, and Elmer would get out. But the day that my oldest sister and her new husband returned from their honeymoon, my brother-in-law got in the car and started right off and ran over Elmer. It was a tough beginning for a new member of our family. We did get over it, a lot of what I know about a lot of things I learned from that brother-in-law. He taught me how to tie my shoes so I didn't have to take them off and keep them tied before I put them on, and lots of other things as well. Some of those things I will not mention here, but he was a great teacher.
I'd like to remember my childhood cat who I had for 21 years.
Cloudy.
Oh, well, we may have run out of.
Yep. I'd like to remember our cat Scratch, who adopted us when we lived in Colorado, moved with us to Kansas, ran away 10 times or more, knew most of the people in Manhattan, then moved with us to New Mexico and jumped off the balcony of our condominium, survived that, moved with us back to Kansas, and our vet told us that we had issues with Scratch and we shouldn't try to move him again. And so we remember him fondly, and some of you here may remember Scratch too. So this is for Scratch.
Okay, thank you, Michael. I'm Roger Johnson. I'm remembering that shortly after London I got married, we got a dog, a beagle, that we named Bunky. And the beagle was very loving and enjoyed being with us, but never forgave us for bringing home a little girl. And then we compounded it by bringing home a second girl. But the dog adjusted. And one of my embarrassing Super 8 films is of our older child on the floor and the dog licking her all over. So it was a loving dog, and we miss her.
Any other names that people would like to name?
our dog Leela, and our two cats, Tara and Gigi. Well, so let's see, just in the last few years, Lizzie the Golden Retriever, Wilbur the Blue Heeler, Bob the Naughty Cat, and most recently Jackie the Little Shih Tzu.
My dog Zoe, she was sort of nondescript as far as trying to guess what her lineage was, but she looked like a 50-pound Schipperke. And at 17, she died last winter, but she helped me transition through the girls being at home and then not and then back. And my move into town, she was an outdoor dog, but she made that transition.
I'd like to remember my first childhood dog, Vosh, and my first, stray cat that I took in, Shadow, and the second stray cat that I took in, but that my brother took with him, he actually had a number of different names, but my brother called him Danzig, and also their first cat that they got, my brother and his wife got after they got married, Tori, and also a cat of theirs that on the way home from the vet, my brother got in a car accident, the cat escaped, and they've never found it, Bastion.
We've had a number of pets and have lost them, but I want to say for Nancy and Dan Davis in Olsburg, I have been watching Facebook for their beautiful dog, lab dog, Lennon Wally, who I think has a great name, and I feel for them.
We've had two bird dogs. We named them after states. I don't know why. The first one I had was called Montana, and he was a Brittany. And the second one was a Italian Spinoni. And then we had a kitty that we inherited in California who probably did more to train them than I ever did. And she out-survived them both and managed to... she just passed away last year, so she actually made it to Kansas with us. The other two didn't. But, yeah, they're wonderful.
These pets are all very precious to us.
Hi, I'm Jessica Sievers. I've had this song in my head since I was a teenager. I would like to thank Renee Brown for composing the piano piece, and I'm delighted today that I get to sing with my sister, Michaela. To me, this song is about guardian angels and how we can't always be with our loved ones, but we know that they're sending us love and protection. Be it from a lover or an ancestor, or maybe you would like to think of your guardian dog or cat or chicken who watches over you through the night while you sleep. This is Angel Tonight. ¶¶
St. Francis of Assisi was? He's the saint that's always pictured with animals around him, birds and bunnies and donkeys and ducks. And it wasn't only animals either. He preached to the flowers and praised the rocks and waters. He thought of all the creatures, of plants and things, of the earth as his family. And the song that we sang at the beginning of this service this morning about nature has words that were written by St. Francis. And he was full of blessing. There's a poem about how St. Francis of Assisi gave a blessing to the sow, and the sow felt its own perfect loveliness. Just what a blessing is supposed to do. And there's also a story of how St. Francis saved the people of the Italian town of Gubbio from a vicious wolf, and how he saved the wolf from the people of Gubbio. This wolf attacked and killed a shepherd, and then members of the shepherd's family, and then he killed soldiers that were sent out to get him. And there had been so much bloodshed that the townspeople persuaded St. Francis to come and find a solution. Now, Francis was known for his ability to communicate with animals. And some thought Francis should send the wolf away to a neighboring town, and others thought he should strike the wolf dead. Francis listened with compassion as the townspeople told their story and how terrified they were of the wolf and how they couldn't go near the woods for fear for their lives and how they had lost their friends and family to the wolf. And Francis decided he needed to hear the wolf's side of the story. Well, everyone was afraid that Francis, too, would be killed in the woods, because he went out there all by himself, and sure enough, the wolf circled him like he was stalking him. Francis, though, assured the wolf that he came in peace. "Brother Wolf," he said, "I will not hurt you," because Francis could communicate with animals. And the wolf told him how he had been left behind in this secluded woods by his pack because his leg was injured. And he couldn't chase the fast deer and the rabbits. Now, he could pick off sheep from the townspeople's flocks. And that was what he was doing when the shepherd came after him. Well, the shepherd was determined to kill him, and he was only defending himself. He was only fighting for his life, and so it was, too, when the others came. He may have killed, but it was only in self-defense. All he wanted to do was to be able to feed and protect himself. Well, Francis thought and prayed and came to a solution. What if the townspeople agree to feed you? Would you then promise not to hurt any of them? I would, said Brother Wolf, but they would never agree to that. Let me try to convince them, said Francis. So Francis walked with the wolf into the center of town and proposed the plan. At first, the people scoffed. That wolf's dangerous, they said. Francis, though, said that the wolf was sorry and convinced them that if they fed him, he would leave them alone. And they agreed. Brother Wolf became the town's wolf. The people left him food, and he protected the village and never hurt anyone again. St. Francis looked for and found a way to make room for animals, even a wild animal. Now, I don't mean to say that we can tame all the wild animals. But what would happen if we looked at the world from their point of view, if we heard their story? What might your pet animals have to say? What might an American bison have to say? What might the coral in their reefs have to say? What might the gorillas have to say? What might the sea turtles say? What might the crickets say? UU minister Gary Kowalski writes, "Don't animals teach us about blessing, about joy? They remind us to be satisfied with what we have. Not one of them is worried about the stock market. Not one of them wants to run for Congress or govern the animal kingdom. None brags that their religion is better than their neighbor's. Each is satisfied with just a little fresh water, healthy food, enough room for a nest or a den. None needs a passport or travel documents or immigration papers because they don't live in a state like Arizona or Texas that cares about such things. They live in a state of bliss." Or you could call that a state of blessing. Animals have something to teach us. There are animal sanctuaries around the world that protect certain kinds of animals, usually animals that have been rescued, maybe from circuses or from hunters. The main purpose is simply to be a place that the animals can live safely. We think of wild animals as the natural inhabitants of the planet, yet most of the wild animals have been replaced. Species are going extinct 1,000 times faster because of human beings. Maybe even faster than that. Sometimes extinction comes because of hunting, but most often it's because we humans have taken over their habitat and left them with smaller and smaller places to live. There are more humans on Earth than any other mammal, except possibly the brown rat and the house mouse, who are both heavily dependent on human beings. Cows are the most common non-human large mammal, with sheep, pigs, and goats coming up close behind. Those animals are most common because humans grow them for food. Of course, if you really want to know the most common animals, you probably need to ask an entomologist. Any entomologists here? Is it beetles? It's beetles. It's beetles. We humans have made this earth very human-centered. What would happen if we tried to make it less human-centered? What would happen if we tried to create sanctuary for bison and coral and gorillas and turtles and beetles and even rocks and waterfalls and wheatgrass and prickly pear? Not because of what they do for us, but simply because of themselves. What if we tried to think of the earth without humans as the center of everything? Some people have done better than others with making everything count as itself. Laguna Pueblo writer Leslie Marmon Silco writes, "The bare vastness of the Hopi landscape emphasizes the visual impact of every plant, every rock, every arroyo, every ant, every lizard, every lark is imbued with great value simply because the creature is there, simply because it is alive in a place where any life at all is precious. If we tried to think of the earth without humans at the center of everything, then we'd create sanctuary for everything. We would truly celebrate the web of life. We celebrate the web of life is our closing hymn. It's number 175. I leave you with the words of Orin Lyons, faith keeper of the Turtle Clan of the Seneca Nations. I do not see a delegation for the four-footed. I see no seat for the eagles. We forget and we consider ourselves superior, but we are, after all, a mere part of the creation, and we must continue to understand where we are, and we stand between the mountain and the ant. Somewhere, and there only as part and parcel of the creation, it is our responsibility since we have been given the minds to take care of these things. And I add, and so they are blessed, and we are blessed. They are a blessing, and we are a blessing. So may it be.